Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 11. Today's text is 5, right? Shri Narada Vacha Natva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanang Dharma Setave Akshay Sanatanang Dharmam Narayana Mukachchutam. Shri Narada Vacha Natva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanang Dharma Setave Vakshe Sanatanang Dharmam Narayana Mukachchutam. Shri Narada Vacha Natva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanang Dharma Setave Pakshe Sanatanang Dharmam Narayana Mukachchutam. Please chant. Shri Narada Vacha Natva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanam Dharma Setave Pakshe Sanatanam Dharmam Narayana Nukashutam. Shri Narada Vacha Natva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanam Dharma Setave Vakshe Sanatanam Dharmam Narayana Mukachchutam. Shri Narada Vacha Natva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanam Dharma Sekhe Vakshe Sanatanam Dharmam Narayana Mukachchutam. Shri Narada Vacha Natva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanam Dharma Setave Vakshe Sanatanam Dharmam Narayana Mukachchutam. Vaishnavins. Shri Narada Vacha Natva Bhagavate Jaya Natva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanam Dharma Setave Akshe Sanatanam Dharmam. Shri Narada Vacha Natva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanam Dharma Setave Akshay Sanatanam Dharmam. Sometimes we lose our place, we forget who's speaking, but at least if we meditate on that first line today, Shri Narada Vacha, at least you know who's speaking. And to meditate on Narada Muni means to meditate on the carrier of bhakti. So, very deep meditation. All right, Srila Prabhupada's synonyms for this verse. Shri Narada Vacha. Shri Narada Muni said, Natva, offering my obeisances. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ajaya, ever existing, never born, Lokanam, throughout the entire universe, Dharmasetave, who protects religious principles, Vakshe, I shall explain. Sanatanam, eternal. Dharmam, occupational duty. Narayana Mukhat, from the mouth of Narayana. Shrutam, which I have heard. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Sri Narada Muni said, after first offering my obeisances unto Lord Krishna, the protector of the religious principles of all living entities, let me explain the principles of the eternal religious system, of which I have heard from the mouth of Narayana. Please repeat. Sri Narada Muni said, after first offering my obeisances unto Lord Krishna, the protector of the religious principles of all living entities, let me explain the principles of the eternal religious system, of which I have heard from the mouth of Narayana. Srila Prabhupada's purport, the word Aja refers to Krishna, who explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 6, Ajopi, son of Ayatma, I am ever existing, and thus I never take birth. There is no change in my existence. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakta Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesheshane Vadipasya Chadeshtarine Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shita Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishvangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vatam Tang Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shibishakam Vatam Sha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturubhyascha Kripasindhumi Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadan Harishivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Narada Muni, being a Mahajan, one of the personalities from whom we can learn everything, not just about religious principles, anything. These Mahajans can teach us anything and everything. Like our own Mahajan, Srila Prabhupada, he had to teach everything from scratch, how to dress, how to clean your body, how to cook, how to eat properly, how to think properly, everything Prabhupada had to teach us. Everything. We knew nothing. Nothing. Still walking around puffed up thinking that we knew so much. But actually we knew nothing. And it's still a case in society today. So many people walking around puffed up based on a little teeny bit of experience, they think they know so much. I can make a web page. That makes me a great person. You know? Or I can dunk a basketball. That makes me a great person. People are so puffed up based on teeny little achievements. So we should not be fooled. We should not be fooled. We should hear from the Mahajan. So, and as is the example always said by the Mahajans, they cite authority. They don't just say, take it on my say-so. Not because I'm telling you, therefore it's no. So Narada Muni says, first I'm going to glorify Krishna, and then I'm going to repeat to you, I'm going to explain to you about these principles of religion based on what I've heard from Narayana, who is obviously the highest authority, who can be a higher authority than Krishna himself. So this we should also learn from, that, you know, we shouldn't be too eager to tell my opinion. You know, in my opinion, in my experience, it's like this. So who are you? No, but if you can substantiate your opinion by quoting authority, then you have something to say. Then you should be heard. So, and he's speaking to whom? Who is Narada Muni speaking to? Yudhishthira. What is Yudhishthira's position? What is his varna? He's a Kshatriya. What is his ashram? He's a Grihastha. And above and beyond that, he's at this point the emperor of the whole world. So does he really need to hear about Varnashram Dharma? Why is he asking that? For our benefit, exactly. So we should listen in that mood. It's not that Yudhishthira didn't know about Varnas and Ashram. He's the leader of the whole world at this point. He certainly knows about Varnas and Ashramas. So he doesn't have to inquire from Narad Muni. But the great souls, they take it as their duty to teach. This is their duty in society, their position in society, to teach the rest of us who are walking around puffed up thinking that we know something and we don't know the first thing about what is life and what is the goal of life, how to live life properly. So they regularly get into these conversations so that we can learn from them. So it's a very short purport. The significant point is in that last line, there is no change in my existence. Because technically, as we know, we're also unborn. Krishna says that Yopi Sanavayama Bhutana Vishropi San. I am unborn. But his transcendental body never deteriorates. That is the real point. We are also unborn, but we're currently incarcerated in these material bodies that definitely change drastically over time and sometimes in an instant. We can go from being healthy to being debilitated. Or through some accident. We just like recently in San Francisco, they had that Korean Airlines, that Asiana Airlines plane that crashed. Coming in, seemingly everything is normal. But just by chance, some guy had his cell phone camera and he was videotaping. As far as I know, that's the only tape of the whole incident. He was videotaping the plane coming in. It seemed everything is normal, but all of a sudden, nose went up, tail went down, slammed into the seawall, the tail section broke up, and they went into wild spin. And I'm kind of an aviation buff, so I kind of read up on the whole thing to find out what happened. And I saw an interview of a family, Korean family, mother, father, and three children. They all survived, luckily. It's a miracle anybody survived that crash. It looks so terrible when you see the video. And so they were explaining how they were so totally shocked and about what happened. And three rows behind them, three Chinese girls, they were the only ones that died. All three of them together, sitting next to each other, the three of them died. The funny thing was that one of them, at least one of them, actually survived the crash. She fell out of the airplane, and then the trucks came, and immediately they were foaming down the area to prevent fire from spreading, and one of the trucks ran over her and killed her. So when it's your time to go, you know, you can't, sometimes we think we can put death on hold, you know. I'm busy today. I mean, look at my to-do list, look at my calendar. I can't, no. When it's your time to go, you're going to go. Nothing can save you. Even if you survive the main problem, in this case, terrible crash, the girl survived, gets run over by a truck. It was her time to go. Nothing could save her. So we should take lessons from that, that we have to be prepared for death. This is what the whole business of the Bhagavatam is about. This is what the Mahajans are discussing to remind us and inform us and teach us, that your day is going to come too, and you have to be ready. Now, this family that I saw an interview, they were very happy to be alive and counting their blessings. They thought it was a miracle. But obviously, they're still not honed in on what the whole thing is all about. It's not just about surviving this incident, that accident, this near-death experience and that. No. One day, it's not going to be just an NDE. It's going to be the actual death experience, and you have to be ready for that. We should be all convinced at this point, at least, that we do survive the death experience. At least that much we should know. Because if we don't survive the death experience, then this, all of this is useless. All religion, all spiritual culture, all spiritual discussion, it's all useless if nothing survives the death experience. So we should at least be convinced that we do survive the death experience. And if we are convinced of that, then we should prepare ourselves for what comes after that death experience. That's the real preparation of life. Not just to prepare to live nicely. You know, the family was happy, the kids were alive to go to college and get a job. But everybody else is doing that, whether they've been in a near-death experience or not. That's not the point, just to get a good job so you can have a nice roof over your head, nicer roof than the neighbor, and You know, I mean, the whole idea of a nice roof is to show off, right? Otherwise, technically, we don't need very much space. We could all live in a motorhome like Vijay. Even that is too much. You don't really need that much. You just need a little bit of shelter, a few clothes. Materially speaking, we don't really need a lot. But so the whole business of accumulating more and more, you know, whether it's dhotis or saris or jeans or whatever, accumulating more and more and more, it's just to show off. We don't really need that much. What we do need to do, though, is to hear these instructions. So since it was a short purport, I wanted to refer, because Narad Muni, he seems that he's always having these discussions that benefit all humanity. So earlier on the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, beginning of the fifth chapter, he approached Lord Brahma, and he said, Deva Deva Namastas Tu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tadvijayani Yajjanam Atma Tattva Darshanam. He's asking Lord Brahma to give him Atma Tattva, this knowledge that we all need. It gives us the vision, Nidarshan, he actually says here. Darshan, as we know, we come to take darshan of the deity. So Atma Tattva Darshanam, that instruction, that knowledge, it gives us vision, a vision of the truth, the real truth, the supreme truth, Krishna. So again, in that situation, is it that Narad Muni doesn't know? No, he's a transcendental personality. He comes and goes to Vaikuntha regularly. He's not of this world. So he's inquiring from Lord Brahma on our account. And Lord Brahma knows that and he appreciates it, just like most of us know this Nrisinga Kavacha of Prahlad. But there's another Nrisinga Kavacha of Narada Muni, where he inquires, Brahma speaks it, where Narada inquires from Brahma. And Brahma starts on. Brahma starts up by glorifying him. He calls him Putra Shrestha Tapodana. Putra Shrestha, as we know, Lord Brahma has many sons mentally born, but he refers to Narad Muni as Putra Shrestha, the best of my sons. Because Narad Muni's only business is this devotional activity. So Lord Brahma is glorifying him like that. Shuvanarana Vakshami Putra Shrestha Tapodana. Kavacham Narasinghasya Trailokya Vijayi Bhavet. That's the beginning of the Brahma Nrisinga Kavacha. And that's actually the Kavacha where we get this verse, Ugram Virya Mahavishnum Valantam Sarvatomash. It actually comes from that Kavacha. So Narada is inquiring from Brahma in the second canto. I just wanted to read that because it's germane to what we're reading today. Let me find the verse. It's 251, I believe. Yeah, Narada Vacha, Deva Deva Namastestu, Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja, Tadvijani Hiyajjanam, Atma Tattva Darshanam. Prabhupada translates. Sri Narada Muni asks Brahmaji, O chief amongst the demigods, O firstborn living entity, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Again, teaching us when you approach somebody, you have to be in this mood if you're going to ask questions, not in a challenging mood. Please tell me that transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and the super soul. So nice purport. The perfection of the parampara system, or the path of the cyclic succession, is further confirmed. In the previous chapter, it has been established that Brahmaji, the firstborn living entity, received knowledge directly from the Supreme Lord, and the same knowledge was imparted to Narada, the next disciple. So, of course, Narada then disseminates that knowledge through many different chains, and we're in one of those lines. He gives the knowledge to Vyasadeva, comes down through Madhvacharya to us, and therefore we're in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. But he also spoke to Prahlad, to Dhruva, to Murgari. So he set so many chains of knowledge in motion, Narada Muni. Continuing Prabhupada's purport. Narada asked to receive the knowledge, and Brahmaji imparted upon being asked. Therefore, asking for transcendental knowledge from the right person and receiving it properly is the regulation of the disciplic succession. This process is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 2. The inquisitive student must approach a qualified spiritual master to receive transcendental knowledge by surrender, submissive inquiries, and service. Knowledge received by submissive inquiries and service is more effective than knowledge received in exchange for money. A spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from Brahma and Narada has no demand for dollars and cents. A bona fide student has to satisfy him by sincere service to obtain knowledge of the relation and nature of the individual soul and the supersoul. So, Narada Muni is now in the seventh chapter. I'm going to go on and speak about Varnashram. But the whole goal of Varnashram is to bring us to this point of reawakening the real relationship between the individual soul and the supersoul. Who is God? Who am I? And how do I relate to God? What am I supposed to do in my relationship towards God? And so that is the whole topic that's going to come up. And we are, again, very fortunate to have all that knowledge distilled in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books. Sometimes we think, oh, it would be nice to learn Sanskrit and, you know all of the commentaries of the Acharyas, which is nice, not knocking it in any way. But we should also appreciate that Srila Prabhupada has already done that job for us. He has taken all that knowledge of the predecessor Acharyas and distilled it and given it to us in a way that we can easily appreciate and digest. It's not that we again have to go out and, you know, read so many books and learn Sanskrit to understand this. It's not necessary. Prabhupada has already done that. He's the foremost Sanskrit scholar that we will ever meet. And he's already distilled all of that knowledge that was originally written in Sanskrit into English so that we can appreciate it. We don't have to again go out and, you know, if you have that capacity, fine. But those who don't have the capacity, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. It's not that I have to go spend 12 years learning Sanskrit grammar so I can read the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti. You don't have to do that. All of that has already been. Where do you think Prabhupada got his commentary from? He had a book. I don't know if it's still upstairs, but he had that book of the commentaries of the predecessor Acharyas. And sometimes he would tell us directly that this is coming, just like this morning Sivaspa was reading. Commentary from Vijaya Dwajtirtha Maharaj, what he said in relation to the Ajamil Leela. Beautiful name, isn't it? Vijaya Dwajtirtha. As we know, there's Jaya, which means everyone was saying Jaya, which means victory. So V is a Sanskrit in Sanskrit is an intensifier. And so Vijaya, intense victory. Dwaja means flag. Tirtha means holy place or abode. So Vijaya Dwaja Tirtha literally means the abode or the place of victory, of the flag of victory. Vijaya Dwaja. Dwaja means flag. Beautiful name. So sometimes Prabhupada gives us directly, says this commentary is coming from Vishwanath Chakravarti or Vijaya Dwajtirtha, like that. But in general, his presentation is a distillation of all of those commentaries of the predecessor Acharyas. So it's not that, again, you have to go out and learn Sanskrit to read. You know, you don't have to do that. Don't waste your time. If you have the capacity, you're already a Sanskrit scholar and you can read directly, fine. But those who don't have that capacity, don't think you're missing out on anything. Srila Prabhupada's commentary includes all of the commentaries of the predecessor Acharyas, at least the salient points that we need to meditate on. And we don't have to go out and again try to track down this point and that point. It's already there. If we can simply assimilate, understand, and put into action all the points that Prabhupada makes in his commentary, we're there. We don't have anywhere else to go. There's no higher place to go. Nothing else, nothing's missing from Prabhupada's commentary. Everything is there. And sometimes Prabhupada will give commentary 5, 6, 12 pages long. And sometimes, like today, 3 sentences. Very short purport. So in whatever case, whether it's a lengthy purport or short, try to dive into those particular points and understand them. So the main point, as I said, from today's purport is that Krishna's body does not deteriorate. And then Prabhupada says, that's why Krishna knows everything, because his body doesn't change. Every situation that he's been in, he remembers completely, because his body doesn't change. But our body changes. So the experiences that we have from last life and the life before that and so many previous lives, we forget, because we go through that change of body. That death experience means a change of body. It means this body is taken away from us, or other way around, we're taken away from it. Because usually the body remains. People either bury it or burn it or whatever. Or they leave it out to be eaten by animals. Still, it goes on in some places. Not so much anymore itself. Some people do that. I may have mentioned before, I read a book by this Japanese guy who grew up in a village in Japan where At some point in time, the elders would just disappear. The elders in the village, they would just go on a journey and never come back. So as a young boy, he was always curious about this. And then when he got to be a teenager, he got to go on one of these journeys with one of the elders who was about to die. And he was shocked about what happened. Because he was a strong teenager, he was enlisted to assist his grandmother to go to the top of this mountain. And then when he got there, as he realized what was going on, there were a lot of bones around and all these birds were just waiting. These vultures were just waiting, because that's what they did in that village. Rather than burying the body at great expense, like we do in the West. Mandanam Lokaranjanam. This is what, you know, it's pleasing to the foolish people to dress up the body and put it in a coffin. And this is all just waste of money. So rather than waste money, these Japanese in this village, they would take the elders to the top of a mountain and just leave them there. And then they would die and then the vultures would come and feast. So he was shocked when he realized that. But this is a much better arrangement than what goes on typically in today's society. People are spending $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, $20,000 to bury a body. Give me a break. A total waste of money and waste of land. And then in places like New Orleans where they're always getting flooded, they can't even bury them underground. They have to bury them above ground. Total waste. Ignorance. So this is the kind of ignorance that pervades society when they don't know what happens after the death experience. So our family business handed out by Srila Prabhupada is to first of all understand ourselves. Don't foolishly think that we're going to live forever in this particular body. And make plans. I'll go on making plans based on this body about what I'm going to do tomorrow and next year. Prabhupada says this is all just dreaming. This past, present, future based on your body. It's just dreaming. The past is gone. That was a dream. It's now a dream. Anything you remember from the past is just dreamlike. The present is also a dream. We don't realize that. And the future, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, don't trust any future, however pleasant. It's a dream. You don't know for sure it's going to happen. So the real business is to concentrate in the here and now, in the present, about what we're doing, what devotional activity we can engage in. Hearing, chanting, remembering, distributing Prabhupada's books, something practical, cleaning. This is what we should do. And when we get into that mood, then we're not surprised when death comes. For a devotee, when death comes, it's just like, you know, you just move on to the next situation. There's no fear, no surprise, no nothing. You just go on. Just like we're not afraid of sleeping. Go to sleep, you get up the next day, put on your clothes again, go about your business. So death becomes like that for a devotee. Just put the body down, go on to your next situation. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Jai, Bhakta Anthony. Always has very good questions. Hare Krishna, Gaurus Prabhupada.
I was just wondering if you can explain a little bit about the Brahma Sampradaya, the cyclic succession. You know, it comes from Lord Brahma and then Narada Muni, right? And then the Vasudeva. And then I was just wondering, like in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how Lord Krishna is explaining to Arjuna how he first gave the knowledge to the sun god, and then he gave it to Manu, and then Manu gave it to Ishvaku. So I was just, can you explain a little bit how it seems like there's like two like disciplic successions like coming down? Explain.
Well, like I said, the knowledge actually comes down in many lines. But we're fortunate to be connected to an unbroken line. What Krishna's point in the fourth chapter is that sometimes, just due to the course of time, things get lost. We know, just like here on this planet, things from just 5,000-6,000 years ago get covered over. Like in Egypt, let's say, it's there in the news right now. In Egypt, they are regularly uncovering, you know, all these wonderful things from the pharaohs from 5,000-6,000 years ago. So in just 5,000-6,000 years, things got completely lost. You know, it would seem that the Egyptian civilization was a continuum, but things get covered over by the sands of time, as they say allegorically. Things get covered over. So the same thing happens to knowledge. Knowledge gets covered over. It gets distorted. It seems to be the same, like that was the case with Vaishnavism in India at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It seemed that people were practicing Vaishnavism, but they weren't. They were practicing a perverted form of Vaishnavism. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur made it his mission to purify the practice of Vaishnavism by reintroducing the real basis, which is the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. This knowledge is the basis of practicing bhakti. And therefore, Prabhupada came up with this phrase, books are the basis. If we learn Prabhupada's books thoroughly, then we have a very firm foundation to stand on, and we can't be fooled. Just like Prabhupada was saying in his lecture yesterday, very funnily, about the Mahatmas. You know, people are so bewildered about what is the Mahatma. But it's clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, who is the Mahatma? Bahunam jamanamante gyanavam mahaprapati vasudeva sarvamati sa mahatma sudulabha. If you know that Vasudeva Krishna is everything, then you're a Mahatma. Not about having beady eyes and a long beard and sitting around smiling, looking cute. No, that doesn't make you a Mahatma. It's this knowledge, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. And then, what is the business of a Mahatma? Later on, Krishna says, Mahatma nastamam partha daivam prakritim ashrita. Bhajani nana manasu. You have to always be, speaking of Krishna, always engage in some Krishna conscious activity. That's what makes you a Mahatma. Again, not just sitting around, you know, or wanting to hug everybody that comes in. That's nice, but it's not, doesn't make you a Mahatma. So many people are hugging. Why don't you call them Mahatma? Really? Isn't it? Every day, so many people are hugging each other. Nobody goes up and says, oh, you're a Mahatma. But some one person makes it their business to hug everybody, and oh, that person is a great person because they're hugging everybody. You know, we become so bewildered. And therefore, we have to dive in to Prabhupada's books, and then you become unbewildered. Listen to Prabhupada's lectures. That lecture yesterday, everybody was blown away. Satyanarayana Prabhu was saying, it was so clear. Yeah! If you listen to Prabhupada, everything becomes completely clear. But Prabhupada didn't want to just be glorified. There was an incident, Trivikram Maharaj tells, it happened to him personally. He was massaging Prabhupada, and the night before, this was in London, Prabhupada had given one of these kind of lectures where he was smashing everything and making everything completely clear. So while he was massaging Prabhupada, he was glorifying Prabhupada for his lecture. And Prabhupada said, yes, it's nice that you glorify the Guru, but the best glorification is if you preach the same way. You preach the same way. Don't just glorify your Guru. Learn the knowledge yourself and preach it. That makes the Guru glorious. Not just you just saying, yeah, well, Jaya of Gurudev, Jaya. Yeah, that's nice. But the best Jaya of Gurudev is if you assimilate the knowledge yourself and go out and preach it. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.